Today's segment of the McGirt Show Global Radio, sponsored in part by Credit Repair Education Services Consumer Advocacy, serving and celebrating over 18 years of A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau service to customers all over the land. If you need your credit rebuilt, restored, and renewed, feel free to give them a call today. Or you can email them at crestservices@outlook.com. Follow their Facebook group at Crest Services or Credit Repair Education Services, or on YouTube.com/TheMcGirt or Instagram, The McGirt Show. You'll be glad you did.
/TheMcGirt, YouTube.com/TheMcGirt, Instagram, The McGirt Show. We are so happy and so proud to have with us today, all the way from Greensboro, North Carolina, Mr. Justice McCray, who is an entrepreneur and investor. And Mr. McCray, we want to welcome you to The McGirt Show Global Media. How are you doing today?
Thank you very much. I'm very blessed and grateful and gracious to be here. I'm excited. I'm very excited. You know, we just had a very good conversation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What a conversation. I tell you, just super excited to meet entrepreneurs of our future as well as our present. So that is just amazing. I'm still in awe. I'm still in awe. And we just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I want to first acknowledge and show gratification for how you just received an awesome HBCU award. Kind of tell the listeners about that and how all that happened.
This year has been a lot of growth and building for me. And one of the fields I really want to grow in was something that I felt would really help out my entrepreneurial career, and that's venture capital. And so I've been doing a lot of study and research and, you know, just due diligence on trying to figure out what exactly I could do, what other routes I could possibly take in my career. And one of the things I stumbled on upon is the other side of entrepreneurship, which is venture capital. And learning the investment side of businesses and how a lot of businesses come to fruition by financial and resource support. And through a program that I was a part of in the summertime, I made a connection with a friend from another HBCU, and he was telling me about this organization he was a part of called HBCU DC. So, you know, shout out to them. Their mission is, you know, picking up HBCU students and Black and Latinx and, you know, just underrepresented students and offering them a lucrative field of venture capital is something that's very hard for us to step through. And they're giving us exactly what we need, the knowledge and the tools for it. It's a two-year program. And I applied for it just on the limb, just, you know, seeing it expand my range, and I got accepted about 2.5 months ago. It's been an amazing journey so far. The program has been great. They've been teaching us a lot, and I'm ready to continue to grow and learn and finish.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And we would like to, you know, on behalf of the McGirt Show staff and listeners, congratulate you on that awesome achievement.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
We're super proud of you for what you're doing. Kind of introduce yourself to the world. Who is Mr. Justice McCray? If somebody was asked that question, tell me about this Mr. Justice McCray of Greensboro, North Carolina. What would your response be?
Okay, honestly, that's a lie. I feel like there's so many layers to myself that nobody's really knows about it.
Yes.
You know, I'm still getting around myself.
Yes.
You know, I'm 21 years old. I'm from Orange, New Jersey.
Yes.
I'm a junior business management student at North Carolina A&T. I have a concentration in entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And I have such a huge vision.
Yes.
And understanding for my purpose on this earth, and I feel like I've been God blessed throughout my journey this far. And in my life, I've been making a lot of steps. I'm a former athlete, a former collegiate athlete.
Mm-hmm.
From New York, you know, there's a lot of business up here. Learning a lot about that growing up. As soon as I got the chance to work at the age of 16, I started working. My grandpa parents, which is who I really grew up with. They were both accountants, one for the city of Newark, which is one of the biggest cities in New Jersey, the other for a governmental base that's in New Jersey. And, you know, I feel like that upbringing with him and that upbringing in his area where it's business and learning the finance side and the accounting side of everything from my grandparents, it's made me such a well-rounded individual in the field of business, man. Helped me to understand and see so many different routes and opportunities that come from it and how business is really one of the things that runs the world. You know, this is the field that creates everything.
So true.
And then it branches off into other fields. So learning the initial basis of everything is so impactful and powerful to my life so far. And like one of the main things I've learned is networking. And just from today, you know, from the conversation we had, you see now that networking and connection really comes in handy.
Yeah.
You discover so much from it.
Yes. So true. So true. You spoke it. You said it. I tell you, I'm just still in awe, even just from that. And you said it, and I really appreciate that. You've given us that background. I'm going to throw out some words that have plagued society throughout this year. It's been a tumultuous year, and I want you to respond with your feedback that comes to mind when you hear these words. Like, for instance, racial injustice. What comes to mind when you hear that word? For that
that's something that goes back far beyond any of us alive on Earth's existence, you know? It's when they say systematic, it really is systematic. It's innately built into the United States structure.
Yes.
And like the laws, the governance, it's so impactful to our current life because it's so well established in our current life, you know? I feel like it's hard for us to try to change and escape it because it's so well built. But that word racial injustice, it's more than just, you know, the inequalities. That's, you say, the hate, the differences that people constantly try to, bring up and constantly try to divide people with. That's where that racial injustice comes in. It's really far beyond anything we can think of, because you can even give examples to education, living, like houses and stuff, like all of that. It goes so deep and so far that it's a horrible thing that's been set up. But over time, I feel like, you know, like Martin Luther King said, you know, someday, one day, everything has to come together at some point, and that's what we have to build until. We have to build until that point. We can't just expect it to happen overnight.
That's true. That is so true. So true. That is so true. I'm going to give you another one. Overcoming poverty.
I feel like one component to that overcoming is you have to understand money. You have to understand finances. Yes, you know, it can very easily show that money is the root of all evil. But you can't defeat evil without understanding the evil. You know what I mean? It's hard to beat something that you have no clue what it is.
Amen. So,
and that struck like back, going back to, you know, my upbringing with my grandparents being accountants. That financial literacy aspect is something I feel like that I even see on a daily. It helps me on my daily, you know, life and my daily existence that a lot of other people don't have that innate skill and they don't have that understanding, and you can see the impact and the differences in that. And one of the things, you know, we talked about when we talked earlier, we were asking me that if I was to really, you know, have like an event or a moment of extreme wealth and success just flowing my way, it would be one of the first things I purchased. And honestly, for me, I would not purchase anything right away. My first thing would be to make sure that my finances are structured and set up in a way that is indestructible. You know, it's It's us physically showing our emotions. That's the uprising in us. You see all the hurt and the pain and the destruction and the struggle we've been through. And that's you see protests all over the world. And that's more than just race. That's something where you see a lot of injustices, a lot of inequalities and unfairness, or somebody using their power a lot further than what they should or need to. And the people who are being hurt by that, that's when they want, they feel, you know what, it's time to end this. This needs to be done. This has been too destructive and hurtful toward the societal good that we work so hard to create and maintain.
When you hear the term power of education, what comes to mind?
Education and its power is definitely great. Knowledge and understanding is what evolves the world. That is how human beings came to the state that we're at now. We have to continue to learn, grow, and evolve. And education is something that is twofold. It has multiple, really more than that, it has multiple sides to it. Education of everything. Everything we learn in school has so many other aspects to them that really could be applied to real life and real life aspects. And a lot of people, they don't like the structure of school, but that's just because a lot of school systems don't educate on these subjects the proper way. They educate on a specialized basis instead of educating on a generalistic base where, you're grabbing and grasping these concepts and ideas of things that you actually have to deal with in a regular life basis. Like with math, some of the earlier things are some of the most important things that we learn. We have to be able to add, count, divide, multiply, things like that. But when you get to a lot of college courses or upper level courses, you're learning more of math that may not specifically fit every group or every thing, but it may only be toward a certain group that would really benefit for it. And I think that's one of the main downfalls of the educational system of a lot of countries in this world, especially, being America. We're not even, I think we're right outside of the top 10 or 15 countries in the world when it comes to education and our IQ and stuff, and that's really why we go about a lot of our educational system the wrong way.
So true. This is a good one. The benefit of entrepreneurship, what comes to mind?
That is a big one. Entrepreneurship, I honestly feel like can be a guideline or a life basis for individuals, for a society, on how to move, what to do, how to be. Back in, long before civilizations were fully established, a lot of things was, the system of their society was really built off of bartering, which is everyone owning their own skills and their own knowledge, build and grow on that, and find a way to make it valuable to those around you in order to be able to trade for other things. So entrepreneurship is built into us as human beings. It's learning how to understand and tap into it. And some of the benefits of it is, a lot of people feel like they may not have good friends or friends who are always around them who support them. But in entrepreneurship, when you have people who are on the same playing field as you, the same mindset and vision and mission as you, it's almost indestructible as that relationship could be. Just because everybody wants to see each other succeed. Everybody wants each other to grow and build. So it's a lot less of tearing each other down and a lot less of trying to defeat someone else. To be the main stage or main focus, it becomes a lot more of a community community aspect, which I feel like is another important, you know, value add from the understanding of entrepreneurship is that community aspect. You are given a chance to build a community and bring life and positivity to a community, and they're also given a chance to experience it and to live in a well-functioning and, you know, prosperous community. And I really feel like I could go on for days about what entrepreneurship could provide, just because that's the field I'm in, that's the life I live with. You know, I see this every day. I wake up, a lot of my daily tasks involve something in my entrepreneurial field.
Yes.
So I have a deep understanding of what entrepreneurship can be. And it's really impacting you in everything you do. You know, being an entrepreneur, you learn how to invest, how to manage money. You can even learn things about, you know, buying and purchasing certain things like a house or a car. Learn how to go about that the right way to where you're getting the best value out of it. And, you know, maybe even not even paying as much as you would if you didn't really know too much about it. So entrepreneurship is it's a worldly and, I can say, I guess, like everyone thing, if you learn it and if you understand how to embrace it.
That's true. That's true. That's very good. We always have a thing here at the McGirt Show Little Media where we call it turning lemons to lemonade. I know everybody has a ton of them, but if you could share that one moment in your journey in life that it came to you as a lemon to set you back or hold you back or hinder you, but you turned that lemon into lemonade. You didn't let it stop you, that you feel would empower and encourage and enlighten that person out there that feels like giving up, feeling like they left out, they don't know what to do. What would that lemon to lemonade moment be for you?
That's a great question. Honestly, my life, I can honestly say I've been through a lot of lemon to lemonade situations and just trying to provide for myself and, you know, bring out the best situation out of everything. And I've really been able to just be blessed in that aspect to be able to create something out of nothing and know how to do that. One of the main things I could really show is really embody that ideology is going into high school, going into college, you know, everyone's applying to colleges, and then you're taking your test to get into them. And so I took the SAT, I was pretty prepared for that. I did fairly well on it. I got slightly above average on that. And I had to take the ACT, and I just did not do my best. I just wasn't prepared. It didn't do too well for my outlook and my transcript. And it hindered me getting into a lot of colleges I wanted to, even though I did do good on SAT. I had a great GPA, went to a really good school. It messed up what I felt was rightful for me to be able to go to, you know, certain colleges that I really, really wanted to go to and end up at.
Mm-hmm.
And my top three colleges, I actually didn't get accepted into. And I feel like it was really solely just based on that, because all of my other levels and scores and achievements and activities were being asked of, and, you know, fitting very well with my incoming class and what we were offering as students. But it was just that something missing that I couldn't get in, and I felt like that's really what it was. But the best possible situation came out of it. I ended up applying to A&T kind of as like my last choice, just based on the strength of, you know, word of mouth about what A&T was and hearing about it, culture there. So I decided to, you know, let me go explore the campus myself, figure out if I would actually even be comfortable there. The moment we drove down there and I stepped on that campus for my to the campus walk around day, I knew it right then and there. It just, I don't know, it instilled something in my soul and in my spirit. I felt it. It was like, this is my community. And that decision was that I made to, you know, give in to a chance and to go on that campus. And the decision I ultimately made to actually go to North Carolina Energy, that one decision has changed my life for the complete better. You know, like, it's provided me everything I could have possibly ever needed or wanted in college. It's given me the perfect collegiate experience. Even despite what has happened this year, you know, I can still walk out of college and say, I had an amazing college experience and got all the value out of it that I needed to. That's, in a lot of ways, that's where a lot of my life really started to, you know, settle itself and start to take off. And I honestly am just very grateful for energy to be able to go there, grateful for the opportunity to be there, especially this dynamic time of energy when we're transitioning to being such a powerhouse, you know, HBCU and school, and it's amazing going with the school and with the people in the environment.
That's a good way of looking at it as well, because you could have gave up, you could have stopped, but you didn't. You quit, and if that's how it is, it's like you when you. I like how you said you stepped on that campus and you knew. It's like a feeling you can't explain. You just know. You just know this is it. This is where I belong.
Exactly.
This is where I'm at. Where I'm supposed to be, and that's what people have to realize sometimes. You know, I think I say this to people when I go and I do motivational speaking. They fail to realize that blessings are wonderful. We will have blessings in this life. But blessings come with responsibility. And I like how you shared that you didn't let the fact you got turned down by colleges stop you. That could have been your stopping point. But you went on and you pursued. I tell people, if I had a dollar for every time I was turned down and told no, I'd probably be a billionaire. I probably you know, and here we are today. We're seeing, look at the wonderful accolade that you got after you got there, and already you're turning heads. You're doing it. You're doing big things, and the best, as they say, the best is yet to come.
Yes, and that's the beautiful outlook we have to have. You know, there's always a better upside than our horrific and terrible downside.
Exactly. That is so true. Do you ever feel that society as a whole would get beyond discrimination? What's your take on
it? I feel like over time, at some point, yes. Whether it's now or within the next, you know, 50 years, I can't possibly say. But I mean, if you look at the trends of people's behavior and society's, you know, the way things have been moving, the mannerisms and the movement of society, we're definitely in a lot better place and a lot more, I guess I could say a socialist type of state, you know, where it's a lot more on a, hey, this is not just about me. There's a lot of other people going through more struggles, a lot more people being a lot more aware of some of the other struggles people have to go through. And I don't know if we can say that's, you know, solely given to social media, and whether we can say that's the reasons for that, but I feel like social media is kind of a huge aspect in that transition to humans, you know, we all have the same, you know, the similar life patterns. We all have the same body and body structure. We may be slightly different in little ways here and there, but hopefully we're all people under one earth, under one God. And I feel like we can definitely say that we're coming to a place of communal, you know, congregation or communal connection and prosperity between each other. You see a lot of people are starting to, like, from the summertime, you see a lot more races, a lot more people that you may not actually come out and support the black community and African-American race, but they have, and they came in like spectacular numbers. I can't, give reason to why they were out there or why, they felt the need to be part of the cause, but it's the fact that we still have the strength of numbers that's constantly and continuously building and growing. And we can definitely see that it's building and growing because from the summertime with the protests all the way to the presidential election, it's just been such a crazy, like a crazy turnout of Americans, the people just trying to work toward a progressive state. And it's definitely very clear and evident that someday, very soon, we can all peacefully live and happily be one.
That's true. That is so true.
Did you ever at any point take the time to do what I call create a bucket list? And if so, what would be on your bucket list?
I actually haven't created a full bucket list, but I have created a 5 to 15 year plan for the next, 15 years of my life.
Awesome.
One of the things on my bucket list is, it's gonna sound really typical, but I wanna travel. I wanna get out. I wanna experience the world. I wanna see the world. I wanna see what it's like to be in different parts of the world at different times. It's definitely a different life and upbringing for everybody, and it's really, that's one of the ways to really see that experience, that it's just being, traveling and seeing different places, different people, connecting and opening up to people. So I would definitely say that's one of my bucket list items. Outside of that, I love cars. I love the design and detailing performance of cars. So I would say I would have to be able to drive a sports car or a supercar or something at least once in my life, whether I own it or it's just, a test drive or something. I want to be able to get that rush and that feeling of what it's like to have such torque and power in your head.
Is there a favorite car that you have? Or dream car?
I could say one of my favorite cars and one of my dream cars, which is definitely something I see within the next 10 years of me buying, is G-Wagon. I don't know. It's just something so beautiful and elegant and built about a G-Wagon that it just, it's performance, it's elegance, it's the structure, the luxury, it's everything. I feel like it's everything wrapped up in one push on a nice big comfortable truck, you're up high. And it's you see the whole road, everything is just, it's amazing in that. I've been in it like once or twice, it's a beautiful experience.
That would fit you perfect, too. I can see you driving over your way.
that's such an amazing car,
Is there like an iconic person in your life that has inspired you? And if so, who would it be that we have known about in history that would inspire you, if you would? And if so, why? Or who? Why, should I say?
Definitely. I'm going to be so completely honest. I struggle to look up to other people just because I feel like I have my own life and environment to think about and to really focus on. That it's hard for me to fully, place a lot of focus on people who I don't fully connect with or I don't know personally.
Today's segment of the McGirt Show Global Media was sponsored in part by Credit Repair Education Services. If you or someone you know needs their credit rebuilt, restored, and renewed, give them a call or text or email today. CreditServices@outlook.com. You can visit them on youtube.com/TheMcGirt, Instagram, The McGirt Show. You can text them at 910-813-8525. For those of you who may know someone who would like to be a guest on the McGirt Show Global Media, feel free to email us at themcgirtshow@gmail.com. Thank you and have a great day.